are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading an offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the 4-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ in Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group, let them know you're listening, and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. And rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day 31. In this episode, we will continue reading from volume 1, and today we will pick up at number 4 in the section, The Most Holy Incarnation. Number 4 treats the visitation. This will be a partial reading of section 4. 4. Mary's Visitation. Mary's Annunciation took place before Joseph's return. He had not yet settled at Nazareth when, with Mary, he started on the journey to Hebron. After the conception of Jesus, the Blessed Virgin experienced a great desire to visit her cousin Elizabeth. I saw her traveling with Joseph toward the south. Once I saw her passing the night in a hut made of a wickerwork, and which was all overrun with vines and beautiful white blossoms. From that point to Zachary's house, it was a journey of about 12 hours. Near Jerusalem, they turned off to the north in order to take a more solitary route. They made the circuit of a little city 2 leagues from Emmaus and took a road traversed by Jesus in after years. Although it was a long journey, they made it very quickly. They now had to cross 2 hills. I saw them resting between them, eating some bread and refreshing themselves with some balsam drops, which they had collected on the way and which they mingled with their drinking water. The hill was formed of overhanging rocks and caves. The valleys were very fertile. I remarked on the road one particular flower. It had a fine green leaf and a cluster of 9 tiny bell-shaped blossoms, white, lightly flushed with red. Mary wore a brown woolen underdress over which was a gray one with a girdle and a yellowish covering on her head. Joseph carried in a bundle a long brownish garment with a cowl and bands in front. It was one that Mary was accustomed to wearing whenever she went either to the temple or the synagogue. Zachary's house stood upon a solitary hill, and other dwellings were scattered around. Not far from it, a tolerably large brook flowed down from the mountain. Elizabeth had learned in a vision that one of her race was to give birth to the Messiah. She had dwelt and thought upon Mary, had very greatly desired to see her, and indeed beheld her journeying to Hebron. In a little room to the right of the entrance to the house, she placed seats, and here she tarried, often looking long and anxious down the road in the hope of catching the first glimpse of Mary. When Zachary was returning from the Passover, I saw Elizabeth urged by an impetuous desire, hurrying from the house and going a considerable distance on the road to Jerusalem. When Zachary met her, he was alarmed to find her so far from home, and that too in her present condition. But she told him of her anxiety and that she could not help thinking that her cousin Mary was coming from Nazareth to see her. Zachary, however, thought it improbable that the newly married couple would, at that time, undertake so great a journey. On the following day, I saw Elizabeth taking the road again under the influence of the same impression, and now I saw the Holy Family coming to meet her. Elizabeth was advanced in years. She was tall, her face small and delicate, and she wore something wrapped around her head. She was acquainted with Mary only by hearsay. As soon as the Blessed Virgin saw Elizabeth, she knew her and hurried on to meet her while Joseph purposely held back. Mary had already reached the houses in the neighborhood of Zachary's home. Their occupants were enraptured at her beauty and filled with such reverence by her demeanor that they stood back modestly. When the cousins met, they saluted each other joyfully with outstretched hands. I saw a light in Mary and issuing from her array which entered into Elizabeth, who thereby became wonderfully agitated. They did not pause long in sight of the beholders, but arm in arm passed up the courtyard to the door of the house, where Elizabeth once more bade Mary welcome. Joseph went around to the side of the house and into an open hall where sat Zachary. He respectfully saluted the aged priest, who responded in writing on his tablet. Mary and Elizabeth entered the room, and which was the fireplace. Here they embraced, clasping each other in their arms and pressing cheek to cheek. I saw light streaming down between them. Then it was that Elizabeth, becoming interiorly inflamed, stepped back with uplifted hands and exclaimed, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed art thou that hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord." At these last words, Elizabeth took Mary into the little room, prepared for her, that she might sit down and rest. It was only a few steps from where they were. Mary released her hold upon Elizabeth's arm, crossed her hands on her breast, and divinely inspired, uttered her canticle of thanksgiving. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior, because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Because he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation unto generation to them that fear him. He hath showed might in his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the conceit of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seat, and hath exalted the humble. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath received Israel his servant, being mindful of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." I saw Elizabeth, moved by similar emotion, reciting the whole canticle with Mary. Then they seated themselves on low seats. A small goblet was on the little table, and oh, I was so happy. I sat nearby and prayed with them the whole time. I saw Joseph and Zachary still together. They were conversing by means of the tablet, and always about the coming of the Messiah. Zachary was a tall, handsome, old man clothed like a priest. He and Joseph sat together at the side of the house that opened on the garden in which Mary and Elizabeth were now sitting on a rug under a high, spreading tree. Behind the tree was a fountain from which gushed water when a spigot was pressed. I saw grass and flowers around and trees bearing little yellow plums. Mary and Elizabeth were eating rolls and small fruits out of Joseph's traveling pouch. What touching simplicity and moderation! Two maids and two men servants were in the house. They prepared a table under the tree. Joseph and Zachary came out and ate something. Joseph wanted to return home at once, but they persuaded him to stay 8 days. He knew not of Mary's conception. The women were silent on that subject. They had a secret understanding together, about their interior sentiments. When all, Mary and Elizabeth, Joseph and Zachary, were together, they prayed, making use of a kind of litany. I saw a cross appear in their midst, and still there was no cross at that time. Yes, it was as if two crosses visited each other. In the evening, they all sat together again in the garden near a lamp under the tree. A cover like a tent was stretched under the tree, and low stools with backs stood around. After that, I saw Joseph and Zachary going to an oratory, while Mary and Elizabeth retired to their little chamber. They were inflamed with divine ardor, and together they recited the Magnificat. The Blessed Virgin wore a transparent white veil, which she lowered when speaking to men. Zachary took Joseph on the following day to another garden at some distance from the house. He was in all things most exact and methodical. The second garden was set out with beautiful bushes and trees full of fruit. In the center was an avenue of trees, and at the end of it a small house whose entrance was on the side. Above were openings with slides like windows, a woven couch filled with moss or some other fine plant, stood in one room, in which there were also two white figures as large as children. I have no clear knowledge of how they came there, nor what they signified, but they appeared to me to be very like Zachary and Elizabeth, only much younger. I saw Mary and Elizabeth much together. Mary helped with everything around the house and prepared all kinds of necessaries for the child. Both she and Elizabeth knit a large coverlet for the latter, and they worked also for the poor. During Mary's absence, Anne frequently sent her maid to see after Mary's house at Nazareth, and once I saw her there herself. This concludes our reading today for day number 31. We'll pick up tomorrow where we are leaving off today in the middle of section 4. Today's reading, the chapter is a bit longer, so being divided up into two readings. The Visitation is one of the gospel stories that has fascinated me for many years. There's a few reasons for that. I was ordained a deacon, so before you're ordained a priest, you're ordained a transitional deacon, and my ordination day for diaconate was on the Feast of Mary's Visitation. Of course, it's a Marian-centered event. Mary being proclaimed blessed, Mary giving her Magnificat. And when I was in the Holy Land for an extended time, we studied there as seminarians for an entire quarter or semester. And so we spent about 10 weeks there. And because I was being ordained on the Feast of the Visitation, I wanted to go back. We had been to the Church of the Visitation once, but just wasn't enough. I wanted to spend more time there. And I actually walked there from Jerusalem. So you think about Mary walking. I walked from Jerusalem. I got off at the train station and walked down and up the hill. It was about 3 miles, a 5K to walk there. I just was afraid that I would take the wrong kind of bus or taxi or something like that. So I made it my aim to go on my own and walk. And I spent a beautiful time in prayer in the Church of the Visitation. Just speaking about it now makes me want to go back and find my old prayer journals. I saved them, and I would like to maybe read from my time in the Holy Land, and especially at this day that I took to be at the Church of the Visitation. So there's a few things that are going on in Anne Catherine Emmerich's telling of the Visitation. And you might remember just a few days ago, I mentioned that I believe, and I guess I have to go back and fact check this now myself, but that Maria of Ágreda believed that Anne and Joachim died while Mary was in the temple, but we quite clearly see here in our reflection today on the visitation that Anne is alive. It says that at the very end of our reading, during Mary's absence, Anne frequently sent her maid to see after Mary's house at Nazareth. So Anne was alive during the time of the Annunciation and this visitation, at least in the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Another aspect is kind of just the fact that during the visitation that this is being withheld from Joseph. So it's not going to be till later that Joseph has the realization Mary's with child, when he's going to want to divorce her quietly and he takes her into his home. This is another question about the visitation. You know, did Joseph go with Mary? There are numerous artistic depictions imagined by the artist that Joseph is there. So that's one way we look at this question. We look at it too from the point of the mystics. What do Maria of Agreda and Anne Catherine Emmerich say? And so we learned, we know what Anne Catherine Emmerich says. Joseph went with. Joseph was there at the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He wanted to leave. He stayed 8 days. I don't know why 8 is symbolic or significant, but that's what Joseph wanted to do and how long he wanted to go right away, but that's how long he ended up staying, it appears. We're drawn to different things in the text and, you know, just some of the descriptions that Anne Catherine Emmerich gives. She's saying, you know, I saw this. I saw Elizabeth moved by similar emotion. I sat nearby and prayed with them. So it's almost as if she's there in this scene. Probably Mary and Elizabeth, they can't see her, but Anne Catherine Emmerich is given this vision into these events. And she prays with them, and how beautiful it is. And I think, you know, in our own personal prayer life, we can be inviting Our Lady to pray, and we can just stand there and maybe we can visualize and watch Our Lady pray. But there's such vivid detail that Anne Catherine Emmerich gives, even to the point of a flower. The valleys were very fertile. I remarked on the road one particular flower. It had fine green leaves and a cluster of 9 tiny bell-shaped blossoms, white, lightly flushed with red. So you see that Anne Catherine Emmerich, you know, very much an admirer of beauty and flowers and such. Just another little realization, I guess, about the style of writing of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Maybe just 2 more things I'll say about our reading today. Kind of the sense that Elizabeth knew that Mary was coming, and what we gather from the reading is that the two really didn't know each other. They hadn't met before. And so the Holy Spirit has given Elizabeth this foreknowledge, in a sense, to prepare for the arrival of Our Lady. And then just lastly, one of the things I want to point out, and I'm sure maybe this will be the subject of tomorrow's reading and reflection, but when I read Maria of Agreda on the Visitation, and of course, because it's one of my favorite biblical stories, I'm drawn to want to know more about it, and I look forward to it, I anticipate it. And so one of my takeaways from Maria of Agreda was just realizing that the Visitation is more than just the greeting of Mary and Elizabeth, but it's the fact that Mary stayed with her for 3 months. It's the entire duration of that time. So when you pray this second joyful mystery of the rosary, you can meditate upon different aspects of the visitation. Maybe the conversations Elizabeth and Mary had, for example. We got a little glimpse of that today as I describe this as the visitation being more than just the initial moment of greeting. This is what I mean. This is what Anne Catherine Emmerich says. I saw Mary and Elizabeth much together. Mary helped with everything around the house and prepared all kinds of necessaries for the child. Both she and Elizabeth knit on a large coverlet for the latter, and they worked also for the poor. So I guess what I want to to leave you with today is the next time you pray the second joyful mystery of the Visitation, maybe you just want to meditate upon Mary in the home of Elizabeth and the work she did in that home. And hopefully tomorrow, as we continue our reading, there will be more that will be revealed for our personal prayer and enrichment of our meditation. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Also, don't be afraid to share this podcast with others. Let somebody know about an insight you had from today, maybe to share with someone about the Visitation and how it's more than just the greeting of Mary and Elizabeth. So share it, post about it on social media, text a link to your friend. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.